There appears to be concern among a number of groups that the Trump administration might be looking to change a section of the Clean Water Act that gives states say over certain projects. The Western Governors Association, the Council of State Governments, the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies, and Western States Water Council are among 10 organizations that have signed on to a letter to an EPA official urging him not to make substantial changes to Section 401 of the Clean Water Act that would diminish states' rights. As one expert describes it, the section is, quote, a vital authority for states to protect their waters from federally permitted activities. Ward Scott is a policy advisor for the Western Governors Association, where he focuses on Western water issues. Our co-host Mark Brody spoke with him via Skype and asked him about his group's concerns with the potential changes that may be coming.
When passing the Clean Water Act initially, Congress deliberately set up a system of cooperative federalism and gave states genuine authority and a meaningful role in implementing the statute. Section 401 often represents the state's only opportunity to review federally permitted activities, and it applies to any federal license for an activity that may result in a discharge into waters of the United States. And so it covers a whole lot of ground and is applied in a wide array of contexts.
And what are the proposed changes here? I mean, is the federal government saying that states would no longer have the authority to say yay or nay to these projects?
Well, what we're seeing are various calls, primarily coming from industry and primarily in response to two decisions that have resulted in the states denying a certification for projects. And these are large-scale energy projects that proponents of those projects have failed to demonstrate to the states that they would not negatively affect water quality. And upon review, the courts have upheld those state decisions. However, we're seeing rhetoric coming from industry that those state decisions were an exercise of states abusing their authority under 401 and hijacking the 401 process to basically further their own political ends. But what we're seeing when we talk to the states is that this section of the Clean Water Act has been very responsibly exercised and implemented by states for the last 45 years, and that the denial of two projects under a reasonable exercise of state authority should not give rise to sweeping changes. And so what we're seeing calls for is a limiting of the scope of state review to review the impacts a project may have on water quality. We're also seeing calls to, limit the timeline that states would have to review these projects. And what would come from this is inevitably an unnecessary increase in the denial of state certifications of projects. And I certainly want to make it clear that the Western governors support the development of infrastructure and streamlined environmental permitting processes. However, it's also the governor's position that these efforts should not come at the expense of state authority to manage, allocate, and protect their water resources. And so we want to make sure that any changes to the 401 program would be informed by the facts on the ground and by state expertise. And we feel that that the state voice has been largely ignored in Washington, D.C. on this issue, and that the states are really the experts of what is happening on the ground as this very important authority is being implemented.
Would these changes have to go back through Congress since it's in the Clean Water Act, which was approved by Congress? Can the EPA just do this on its own?
Well, the EPA is charged as the lead agency in administering the Clean Water Act. And while they've had very little experience in implementing 401, since that is done primarily by the states, they are in charge of, we'll say, defining the ambiguous terms that are included in the Clean Water Act. So they do have the authority to write rules as to how 401 or other Clean Water Act programs are administered.
You referenced a couple of sort of high-profile instances where states rejected a particular project. By and large, are these federally permitted projects okayed by states, or are a lot of them rejected?
No, what we're finding is that thousands of certifications have been issued under Section 401, and that very, very few have been denied.
What types of projects are typically impacted by this rule that have to get state approval before they can be built?
Well, 401 really covers a wide array of projects, and so it's a very good question. Historically, 401 has been tested in the context of hydropower licensing and relicensing. That's where we see a lot of the traditional court cases that have addressed issues regarding Section 401. However, we're seeing an increase, particularly in the context of natural gas pipelines. And as those have become proposed at a greater rate, we're seeing states review a lot more of those projects. We also see 401 apply to any kind of dredge and fill permits issued by the Corps of Engineers. Any time that there could be a discharge into navigable waters, Section 401 is triggered.
At the risk of asking kind of a political question here, is it surprising to you that a Republican administration would be potentially scaling back states' rights?
I can't speak to any particular party's position on it, but what we're always concerned about is the concept of fair weather federalism, where state authority is typically supported until that state decision does not line up with a particular agenda or with a desired result.
All right, that's Ward Scott, a policy advisor with the Western Governors Association. Ward, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.